if we sat down with our children, every single one of our children, once a week for half an hour, whatever it's going to take, one-to-one, we can get a gauge on how they're doing in school, but we can get a gauge on their, how they're doing emotionally, their own well-being. Because if you're sitting one-to-one with your child every single week, you're going to notice those changes. You're going to see when they need help. You're going to see when you need to do some type of a diversion or a reset.
You are now listening to the Highlight Reel Builder for Authors, the Going North Podcast. I'm your host, best-selling author, and Maxwell Leadership Certified Trainer, Dom Brightman. And you're going to be getting some tips and techniques to advance yourself coming up next. Today's episode is sponsored by both books, Going North, Tips and Techniques to Advance Yourself, and the follow-up bestseller, Stay the Course, The Elite Performer's 7 Secret Keys to Sustainable Success. Head over to Amazon.com, pick up both books. They are available in a trifecta of paperback, audio, and ebook. Cop all three of both and be on the lookout for another book from yours truly to help podcasters succeed. Now let's get on with today's episode. And today on the Highlight Reel Builder for Authors, known as the Going North Podcast, we got another super special, awesome human for you today, courtesy of Podmatch.com, where podcast guests get to connect with podcast hosts, and if they're freaking cool, they're freaking in. And today's guest is cooler than two cucumbers because she's on both sides of the mic, because she's a caster, baby. That's right, indeed, a book caster. Not only has she written a book that qualifies for being on a podcast, she's also a podcast host herself, and she has over 31 years of experience in the education field, y'all. That's right, indeed. So getting apples on desks to being the apple of folks' eyes to being promoted into administration and 3 different boards and dates. Let's give it up for today's award-winning, best-selling author, indeed, the L and the M, the lovely and magnificent Lynn McLaughlin. How you doing today, Lynn?
Oh my gosh, I'm fantastic. Talk about lifting somebody up. Wow, that's an introduction. Amazing, Dom. Thank you.
My pleasure indeed. With that smile on your face, I'm like, yep, that's right indeed. Definitely Podmatch scores again. I'm like, yes,
this they is sure good. Do. I love Podmatch. Oh, love it, love it.
That's right, indeed. Didn't need no Matchbox 20 or a Matchbox of matches. It's all perfect indeed. But my goodness, I know introductions aren't allowed to be 75.9 days long, and I probably only covered, I don't know, maybe 7 minutes of those 75.9 days. So mind filling in any cavities I may have missed about you since your first time on the show?
Oh, wow. Okay. I kind of roll with it. I've learned a lot. I'm going to say it out there. I'm 60 years old and I'm putting back to try to help people not make the same mistakes that I did in my life and actually learn from the good things that happened in my life. And I'm really passionate right now about children's emotional well-being. I think we, every single one of us should be for obvious reasons. I just wrote a recent blog post about it. And this all came about, long story short, I was an educator 31 years, and the last 6-7 years of my career, I was responsible for special education in a school board of 34,000 students. And with that comes hand in hand with mental health. And at that time, it was very clear the number of students that we had with increasing levels of debilitating anxiety. They couldn't come to school. They could only come to school for 5 minutes. And we had to change things up. We put child youth workers in almost every single school. We had safe people to go to. And then my own daughter struggled with debilitating mental health for about 2 years in a narcissistic relationship. So it was very personal. And friends around me also had children who were struggling, young adults at the time. And I don't know, I was out for a walk one day after all of this was done and over. And I thought, we have got it backwards, everybody. We've got it backwards. We have these beautiful therapeutic evidence-based strategies. We've got alternative options now, Reiki and meditation, things that you've been talking about, Dom, yourself. But why are we waiting until we see symptoms? We do this to ourselves with our own physical health as well. We wait till we have, I don't feel well. Oh, I think it's time to go see the doctor. Oh, I got that letter in the mail. It's time for my annual mammogram. I'm going to go now. But we should be going all the way back to from birth to 8 years old when kids are sponges. And so what I've done now with my niece as a social worker is we've written a children's book series where we've taken those evidence-based strategies that therapists are using in treatment And we're using, we beam kids off to a fictitious planet, and we're teaching them in a really, really fun way. And then we have additional resources to help them implement it in their own lives. So I'm saying, everybody, let's take a look in the mirror and say, what do we do with our little people now? Because they're living in a world we didn't grow up in. They're living in a world that is beyond complex. And they need something different than what we had. And look at the number of us as adults. Right now, there's 58 million children and adolescents with anxiety in our world globally. We are doing it wrong. So that's where I am.
Hey, well, it's a good, not so good place to be. The good part is you're helping. The not so good part is all the darn anxiety and mental health help that folks are going to be needing nowadays. Because my goodness, like this, funny enough, a few episodes ago, prior to the time this episode's released, I got a person who's an educator, and she's been helping out folks, not just with like math, but like all subjects, and just seeing the aftermath of the kids' anxiety from the darn 2020 pandemic, being stuck at home. And then those kids who didn't even get the full kindergarten experience, they started off at home, and it's like going into school. It's like a totally different thing. And that doesn't even account for all the anxiety that was probably showing itself a lot before 2020 even happened. So it's like it got that on top of everything else. So yeah, it's definitely a duty calls moment, especially for the youth. Cause it's like, yeah, like you said earlier, when we were growing up, we didn't have to deal with all this. It's like bullying happened at the school, and now it's like, oh crap, it could be on freaking social media. It's like it travels with you and got all these things stimulating folks and making young folks thinking, oh god, I'm turning old. It's like, no, you just got too much stimuli going.
Yeah, and what they think is normal, and what social media puts out there as being normal, it's not normal. You know, and then I'm supposed to be doing this, I'm supposed to be doing that. And we've got to shut it off. We got to find a way to shut it off and find out what's meaningful for each of us too. And I say to Dom that, you know, and this isn't popular, we as adults have to look in the mirror. I go back now and say, what would I have done differently to try to save my daughter from those 2 years of HE double toothpick, I'll say on the air. Yeah. And, you know, I don't want to ever say we'll do shoulda, coulda, woulda, but we can help others learn from, you know. And she was a volatile young person. She was explosive. And so what do we do as parents? We got to calm the situation, But if we had used problem solving strategies and gone in afterwards and replayed the situation and what can we do different and actually set, these are four steps that you can use in the future. One of them that we teach is I have choices. You know, if we can go back and give them those tools that they're young and they practice and practice and practice, so it becomes ingrained in them and intrinsic in them, then they have those tools for life. And maybe five of those tools don't work for one student or one child, but one does. And that becomes the what they hold on to. And I'm not suggesting in any way, shape, or form that we don't need to increase the supports and services that are out there for adults like us now. But I go back and, you know, how many of us come home from work and blow up? How many times did I do it? Sure, I did. Wouldn't it be wonderful if we could calm ourselves and, like you say, be present, take some solitude for ourselves, and then go back to our children and say, I'm sorry. It was a terrible day at work. I should never have taken it out of you. And then we show our children our humanity. And then what happens? They model. They model what we show them. They model how we behave. So let's take a look in the mirror and say, can we just make one change in our life right now? Try to calm ourselves and be present and aware of when we're becoming volatile to pull back. And volatile is an explosive, it's not the word I want, but we do blow up. We do have stressors. We do come home like, okay, I need my time. And maybe that's what we have to do. You come home from work and you take 15 minutes to yourself, go for a walk, and then make your family the most important thing around you.
Yeah. Yes, indeed. It's so true. It's so darn true. Like it's
hard
like
to do though. Not easy. I'm not saying this is easy, everybody. It's not easy to look in the mirror and say, whoa, I got to make some changes. But we do. We do for our future, for the children, our children, for their future and the future of this world. Just imagine if our children grew up with empathy and self-confidence and with problem solving and social skills to get through every single day and what's going to be thrown at them. Imagine what the world would look like. Amazing, incredible, powerful. caring, kindness. I can
Oh,
dream.
yeah. I mean, hey, it's still a possibility because it's like, hey, we have the tools to do it, just to build it in them. It's just a little bit uphill, but it can happen. Definitely can happen. That's right. Indeed,
And
you got all
it's
this.
not the only solution. It's a piece of the solution. I mean, mental illness is mental illness, right? There's a whole bunch of complicating factors there that, giving your child tools at the age of four when, that's not the answer. But for many, it could be.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, maybe just a hammer, not the whole chainsaw yet.
I never know what you're going to throw out, Dan. Oh my gosh. I love it.
That's right indeed. So my goodness, so with all these years with the kids and heck, even the big kids known as adults, what would you consider your three greatest lessons that have made you a better human today that you learned from the kids?
Well, I think you, well, I listening, which I know you're right there with me, is yeah, shut up. Just close your mouth, be quiet, and listen, but listen with the intention of understanding. There's just too much combativeness now. I'm seeing the pendulum start to swing back from my perspective a little bit, where I'm this and you're that, and we're not going to talk about it because I'm getting defensive and this is what I believe. And you know what? That's not getting us anywhere. I was sharing with you, Dom, that I've got two children. One's in Indonesia right now. One is flying on his way to Australia to teach for a year. And their world perspective is going to be very different because of the experiences that they're having and that open-mindedness to say, wait a minute, maybe I do need to think about this in a different way. And thank you for explaining your perspective. Or, okay, thanks for explaining your perspective. I'm a totally opposite, but I appreciate us talking openly and honestly about it. So I think the first one is listening with the intention of understanding. The second one is to make conscious choices. So, and that's actually my mission, is to make conscious and positive, help people make conscious and positive choices. And I do a little, I have a few scenarios I do when I'm out public speaking. And, one of them is when you catch yourself in a situation, you're feeling, or you're about to enter a situation and this isn't going to go well. You have choices you can make. You can remove yourself. I tell a little story, and I'll really, really briefly. My husband was driving, and he's a retired police officer. And we were coming into a rainstorm into Boston. Actually, we dropped off our oldest son in Nova Scotia, and we had an empty trailer. And I was so nervous, and I kept saying, "Honey, could you please slow down? Could you please slow down?" Then he turned the music up louder. Like, oh, okay, he's not slowing down. He's not slowing down. And then, so I took out a puzzle, put my head down, and thought, okay, I'm the one, because of my anxiety, raising the tension in this truck right now. He is a police officer who drove in every kind of weather you could possibly imagine. He is not going to put us at risk. Be quiet, look down, get your mind off the road. And by doing that, I did exactly what I just said. I decreased the level. I made a conscious choice. I knew that I was the one who was causing the stress in the vehicle. And the whole outcome was fantastic. That's when the Cheers bar was still open. We had a great time in Boston. I did have a conversation with him later about the merits of listening to passengers, but so it's about, don't put your, let's not put ourselves in situations like, or be aware when we're causing stress to ourselves and saying, I got to change this up. What am I going to do? Sometimes that's taking deep breaths. Sometimes that's removing yourself from a conversation and say, something I don't want to talk about right now. Or sometimes that's going to the other side of the room because you see that person over there and you know how it's going to go. Like, conscious choices. Yeah. And my third one is being present. It's like you say, taking some time every single day, what that looks like. And that's not easy if you're a single parent with three jobs. Maybe it's driving home. Maybe that's when you listen to a podcast. Maybe when you're on public transportation, you plug in the earbuds and you just zone into what you need to do to bring yourself down and become present and aware. So those would be my top three.
Yeah, that's right indeed. It's a beautiful top three indeed. That's right indeed. That's right indeed. Who knew the Christmas came early? That's right indeed. Be present, y'all. That's right indeed. That's right
Yeah.
indeed. That's right indeed. Especially those conscious choices and listening indeed. Because hey, that's where the learning happens. Definitely is where the learning happens. That's right indeed. Hashtag listening, Lynn. That's right indeed. The double L.
Yeah. Oh, I love that. Ooh, I need to start hashtag listening Lynn. Yeah. I wonder if it's out there. I have to do some research when we're done. You never know what you're going to throw at us, Dom. You're brilliant.
Oh,
You're brilliant.
I like it. I like it. That's right indeed. Why put bananas in the tailpipe? Just give them the bananas. They'll be fine.
No. I guess. Oh, wait. No, see, my mind went right away to what you would do with bananas in a tailpipe. But there's many different things you could do with those bananas. There's a making a conscious choice of what I'm going to do with those bananas.
Exactly. It's like you give them the bananas, you don't make them go bananas.
Yeah, or use the bananas the way you think they should use them. Oh, too
Right
fun.
indeed. That's right indeed. So my goodness, so with this wonderful uphill battle, so what was it like putting these books together since you got a co-author in your niece, if I'm not mistaken? Yes,
Yes.
indeed.
Oh my
So how was
gosh.
that
You know,
process?
oh, wow. It took us just take it's all right. So this is my niece is a social worker, and I have to say, self-compassion. Has she ever taught me self-compassion over the last couple of years? Because I'm a planner. I'm an A-type personality. The book is coming out. Okay, so you know the whole process of writing your book, we're co-authoring on, we're online, we're doing it, we're writing the book. Then we go back, we do our second edit, we do our third edit. We're setting it off for formal editing with a lady in Australia that I met who's fantastic. Tracy Reagan's her name. She's a children's book editor. But I have timelines, Dom, like many authors do. And when you're co-authoring and then pulling in an illustrator in a collaborative network, your timelines kind of get messed up a little bit. And I wasn't happy about that. The book launch needed to be postponed. And there's lots of other reasons for it. But the bottom line is this collaboration and the illustrator that we hired is a high school. Well, she's in university now, but a high school student right here in my local area who's so gifted. And she has brought our books up to a level because of her creativity that we couldn't even imagine. When we created this fictitious planet, we just called it Tezzera. We said, oh, it's. We're going to design it around crystals and we're going to call all the characters after crystals because that's a really cool thing to do. But it's great to make it up. What does it look like? Well, I don't know. We're going to make characters that are not identifiable by gender or anything, and people can just make them whoever they want them to be. And our illustrator just brought a bed on our planet. Doesn't look like our beds. What does it look like? Hey, let's make it up. So me putting that A-type personality aside, into giving some self-compassion and like it's okay. The end result of this collaboration is so worth it. It's beyond worth it. If I had tried to write this children's book series myself, there's just no comparison to what it would have been with the mind of a social worker who understands right now what teens and adolescents are going through and also runs a day camp in the summer for little people and sees it firsthand. Can think with the clinical mind, I can think with the educator mind, and then our illustrator, who is 20 years old, all coming together. Wow, it's been awesome. It's been amazing. And not only that, it's the feedback that we're getting now, which we did not never guessed. I guess it goes back to us looking in the mirror. We've got adults who are saying, I didn't know about this. I didn't know this. I didn't know this strategy. We got older brothers and sisters who are reading to their younger siblings and they're learning them as well. So that it's not just kids that we're reaching now, it's adults. And that has just been a blow my mind. That just blows my mind. And I've learned a few of these strategies myself. Okay, I go back to our first book called I Have Choices. Okay, sure. Didn't we all say to our kids, you got a choice, you got a choice. But I don't think we laid it out as a step-by-step process that they could reuse and play with. For a situation that faced them every single day. So it's been fantastic. I highly recommend everybody collaboration without competition. Trish Tonai, good friend of mine, uses that as her hashtag. Oh, no, it's hashtag collaboration over competition.
Heck yeah, that's right indeed. The COC, good times indeed. That's right indeed. That's right indeed. Because that is a lot better that way, a lot easier that way. Because looking at the website, it's like, yep. It's like all the planning, all the drawing, and then all the 3D designs. It's a lot. It's like, ah.
Well, and there's a virtual assistant who helps with those kinds of things. That's outside of our purview, but yeah. But my first two books I wrote myself, and that was different and followed the process. But they were novels. They not like this, not like children's books. So yeah, you know, no illustrations, none of those kinds of things needed when I wrote those two books. And the second book was about my daughter's journey, although it's a fictitious called Jackson. And it was about a mother and an adult son going through this journey of him having debilitating anxiety, suicidal thoughts, and what they both had to do to get through it. Very powerful. And I would say 60% of that book was my daughter and I, but I went out and spoke to many other people going through it as parents, guardians, and youth. And those two characters came as a result. So that's a whole different process when you're writing it yourself, but highly recommend that you always use professionals in your editing. Whether you do, I always recommend copy and content edit, no question about it, with professionals who in your genre that you're writing in, right? So you don't want someone who's a professional in nonfiction editing a fictional book, is an example. I digress there. I kind of went on a tangent, didn't I?
Oh, don't worry. Tangents anyway. Are fine here. We go all over because it all leads to North indeed. That's right indeed. So my goodness. So with all that wonderful content creation through the books for basically everybody, since it's novels and books for the kids and the grown-ups looking at the books like, oh, shoot, I could use that myself. Like, yeah.
It's true. It's really cool.
Yes, it is. So my goodness. So with all that, any recommendations for those parents who may be going through that time now? Because like some folks may be like, hey, I know, right? I can't really write a book with my kid right now or use them as an example just yet. Like any tips?
It's a horrible time. There's no other way to say it. When you hold your baby in your arms when they're born, you've got nothing but dreams with them. And when I wrote Jackson, I was at the point, Dom, and I have permission to speak about this for my daughter, who's doing brilliantly, wonderfully well now because she figured out her way through it herself. Mom was interfering. Mom was controlling. Mom was telling daughter what to do to save herself. And I got to the point where I was creeping all the time. I would send her a question, and it was a question I knew an answer to, just to see if she'd respond, and she was okay. It really got to the point where I was on the floor with her, and she was already under the floor, but I mean, sure, that's a terrible analogy, but she was already at the lowest. She was at the lowest of lows, and I was going down with her. And, you know, you can't be there for someone. Forget about the glass half full. I was empty, and I was working full time at the time. So, I mean, I had to find a way. I went through counseling. I discovered why I'm such a control freak, went back all the way back to my childhood, why my relationship with my children was so much that I needed to be in charge. The relationship with my children and my spouse changed because I did that deep thinking. But strategically right now, I learned through counseling to set boundaries. What was going to be allowed to be said to me? What was I going to take charge of? And what was I going to put back in her hands? Because when your child has a safe plan and you're the go-to person for that child's safe plan, oh, I can't even tell you, you don't put your phone on silent for a second. You are always wondering and worrying, and you've got to set boundaries for your own health and for theirs. And there's no magic bullet, but you've got to figure that out, because otherwise you get pulled in as well, and you can't be there for them as part of their safe plan if you're in such a terrible state yourself, that you haven't slept, that you're not well, that you're now physically and emotionally well. I did meditation. I did some, which also included going down to do some deep dives into why I wanted to control her choices, which was not helpful because she didn't want therapy. I wanted her to be in cognitive behavioral therapy. It had to be cognitive behavioral therapy. See, you had to do it. You have to do it. You have to do it. I was calling psychologists. I was making appointments for her, and she was 20 years old. Okay. Way over the line. So my advice is, okay, you've got to have someone who's got the experience, who has the professional background to help you set those boundaries. And a clinician helped me do that. And then I had words that I had statements available to me that I could walk away. I'm sorry, I'm not comfortable speaking about that right now. And I would remove myself from the situation, becoming more conscious of what I was doing. And then I had to let her make her own choices in choosing other types of therapies. For her, it became bodybuilding, nature, reading. She never, ever went through with full therapy, but she figured it out herself. She knows what her triggers are now. She's got plans in place to face her triggers. She's always going to have some anxiousness in her life. But now she is over in a country in Indonesia near Jakarta teaching ESL. She figured it out. Mom got out of the way. Oh, that's so hard to say. Got out of the way. I guess it goes back to what I said, shut up and listen. Yeah, it's a terrible, terrible time, but you got to find supports for ourselves too as adults. We can't go through this alone. Nobody should be going through this alone. No.
Yeah.
And if you open up the conversation with your friends, you'd be surprised how many people around us are going through something like this with their kids. You'd be surprised. I interviewed somebody on my podcast a few weeks ago, Helen Panos, and she said, I love this. If we sat down with our children, every single one of our children, once a week for half an hour, whatever it's going to take, one-to-one, we can get a gauge on how they're doing in school, but we can get a gauge on their how they're doing emotionally, their own well-being. Because if you're sitting one-to-one with your child every single week, you're going to notice those changes. You're going to see when they need help. You're going to see when you need to do some type of a diversion or a reset. I thought it was brilliant.
Hey, it's true. Sure, indeed. Okay. Just figuring out, hey, what's going on? That's right, indeed. See how they're doing, getting to their mind. That's right, indeed. That's right. Who knows? Maybe this is when you actually stick the banana in a tailpipe. You never know. That's right, indeed. It'll get them started talking about something for real then. It'll be like, hey, wait a sec. Where does banana come from?
Yeah. Oh, gosh. I guess, you know what? And if you start doing that when they're young, they probably will look forward to that weekly time, you know? And it won't be a, yeah, everything's fine. Everything's fine. Everything's fine. You got to expect that, right?
Yep, that's right indeed. It's like, oh God, I got to set this out of sweet progress. That's right indeed. To set this beyond two or three words indeed. So my goodness, since you mentioned your podcast, after always asking obligatory podcast hosting questions, so what would you consider your three greatest lessons from starting and growing and running your podcast?
Oh, well, I'm not 10 years in like you are. I think you're what, around 500 episodes now or something, Dom, but yeah, you know what? Okay. So at the beginning, we've got 3 years under our belt now at the beginning. So just really quickly, I don't need to explain. I'm a brain tumor survivor and my memory isn't all that great. And, I first interviewed someone who's done a TEDx talk. He was my first interview. I was taking a public speaking course from him actually. And he challenged me and said, you're going to interview me now. I'm going to be on your podcast. So I'm like, oh, I'm going to have a podcast. Okay, sure. but I absolutely loved it. I loved it. But my problem at that time is I was so caught up with what my next question was going to be, because I was worried about my memory, that I couldn't get into the conversation. And he was free flowing and easy. And Michelangelo Caruso actually is his name. And I was stuck in that for probably about 6 months. I got to have my script. I got to have everything ready. And no way. No, it's got to be conversational. And you know what? If I mix up a word or two, I say things backwards. I say the same word five or six times. Oh, well, too bad. That's the way it is. So that's one lesson. Be you. Just be you with all of it, all the errors, the revisions. And then the other thing is I would go in and edit and edit and edit. Oh, my gosh. It was craziness to cover up those mistakes. No, it just is what it is. I think you have to know you have to have some big questions answered in your mind before you head off to seek out your platform. I use Anchor. I've thought about leaving Anchor. Anchor blasts things out to other podcasts. It's okay for me, but I didn't know that you can't get sponsorships if you're Canadian through Anchor. I didn't know some of those things. And there's so many platforms now that offer, if you want to be global, then you're going to go one way. If you just want to hit a niche market, you're going to go another way. If you want to just do something local, like a local historian, you're going to go another way. So you need to know who's your target. Who do you want your target audience to be? What's the product or the service that you're trying to get out there? So that's what's your podcast all about. And then you find the platform you're going to go with. And the other thing is to ask for help. There's so many of us that are collaborative. I have a meeting this afternoon with my resource team. I'm about to rewrite my mission and my vision with a focus on children's emotional well-being. The podcast is going that way too. And we get on and we just hash it out. Okay, throw me some ideas. What do you think? What don't you think? Blah, 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 blah. You're not alone. There are so many people like us who've gone through this, Dom. And I'll tell you what, all the mistakes I made that I would, you know, there's just a few of them right there, but I don't get caught up on listeners either. So there's podcasts that are out there doing this for a living. This is how they make their living. I'm not doing that for that reason. That's another thing. If you know that ahead of time, I do this twice a month because I love to do it. I love to bring people's stories of crisis forward. We're flipping things out. Although I'm kind of all over in a tangent, but choose your platform because you know the answers to the big, big questions. Be you. Forget about editing up the yin yang, as my mother, I don't know if that's an expression. So forget about editing up the yin yang and then figure out how you're bringing on your guests. That's another piece, right? Because I mean, right now I've got people emailing me directly to be guests and I've always only taken my guests through referrals. So that's another thing I've got to figure out right now because I'm booked up 6 months in the future. You are likely too, Dom. Like, so many amazing people out there. How do you say, yep, 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 and then make that all work? Technology in the background is fantastic. I have an electronic booking system. Perfect. Love it. Just like you do. I loved your reminders. Loved your reminders. Yep, I'm going to be there, Dom. Don't worry. Oh, boy, I was all over on that one. I wasn't ready for that question. I was waiting for the food question.
Oh, don't worry. It pops up every now and then. It pops up every now and then. But hey, before the random waffle appears, is there a question that you wish folks would ask you more often outside of the food question?
Gee, a question that folks would ask me more. I would love for politicians to pull in people who've experienced this type of thing to say, how do we need to shake up our medical health system? That's huge. That's huge. But we've got countries in the world that have national systems in place. And you know what I see in Australia is one of them. Ireland is another one. What I see in those countries is those systems are not under one umbrella. Like in Canada, I'm sure it's the same in the States. It's all provincial. And mental health falls under the Ministry of Health. But in the countries where it's working, where they're seeing success, everything's connected. You're seeing services within schools, as part of schools, in after-school sports, out in the community. It's not under one umbrella. And that is enormous. That is an enormous problem to solve, which would take a long, long, long time. But those conversations have to start because it's not working. It's not working right now. So bring people around the table who've had experience in this and say, what's wrong? Let's change things up. We're talking about universal health. Well, it's different. We have universal health care, but we don't have universal across Canada in terms of coverage, what's covered and what's not covered. Okay, so that's a huge, huge, huge question, but I would love to be pulled into some of those conversations.
Oh, yeah, definitely, because it's a huge topic and it's human life here. It's I still remember, I forgot what it was a couple of years ago. One guy in the UK said, man, we didn't understand the show Breaking Bad of the guy basically selling drugs just so he can get his darn keto. It's like you get health care in the UK. It's like, what the heck, man? It's like it's kind of backwards in a way.
It sure is. We have to find things that are accessible and become normal. They just become normal. I don't have to call and make an appointment and wait 2 months to see a psychologist, right? It just has to become normal. And a lot of us are doing that. Dom, you're doing this in this podcast. We're just talking about things, making it a natural part of our day, talking about suicide with our kids, just like we talk about birth control. It can't be a taboo subject. We got to make things more normal.
Yeah, it's sad but true, because kids are way too young committing suicide nowadays. It's like, what the hell? Like, we got to get on it. It's really a shame how we're at this point. Kids are actually considering that as an option when it should never be an option. So it's like, yeah, just got to talk to kids about it and be like, hey, is everything
And I'll throw out a name, Jackie Simmons. I think she's down in Florida. She's done a TEDx talk about four questions that we should ask our teens. Four questions, and we will know if they need help. Four simple questions, evidence-based research. She's written a book about it. Look her up, Jackie Simmons. I'll even send you the link to her TEDx talk, because having those conversations can save someone's life, does save people's lives.
Amen to that. That's right indeed. That's right indeed, because we need the youth. That's right indeed. That's right indeed. Like, hey, who's going to get you that glass of water when you're 90 if you ain't moving around?
Oh, I know we get into a pretty heavy conversation. I like how you're lightening it up, because, yeah, this is a hard one to talk about.
Yeah, that's right indeed. Yeah. Sometimes hard as a boulder, sometimes as hard as a pillow. That's right indeed. That's right indeed. That's right indeed. Well, before we get to the pills getting low, even though it's totally not a thing, your wonderful book series, that's right, indeed, the Power of Thought series for the kids and the grown-ups and all kids alike. If the book series were a food, what would it be and why?
Oh, you know what? This is the one I was waiting for. So I thought, I got to find something that's going to be nutritious, right? So I Googled it and I got, what do you think? What do you think the top nutrition school foods are? Liver, sardines. I'm like, no. But then I thought, what do I start my day off every day? No, we can't do that. It's a fresh fruit smoothie. That's what I came up with. You put in those pineapples, bananas. Here we go again. Peeled bananas, apples, berries, mangoes, all that nutrition, because you know, good nutrition feeds our bodies, feeds our minds and our bodies are connected. And when I think about nutrition, I think about giving our kids what they need when they're little, nutritious foods. There you go. Yeah. Not liver.
Oh yeah. Thank God. Yeah. Liver. Good. Yeah. I'm not even vegan, but it's like liver tasted before. Oh, no, I'm good on that.
Nope, not on my top list. Nope.
Plus, the books are colorful too, so fruit smoothie is the perfect answer for that one. Indeed, that's right. Indeed,
they are.
That's right. Well, we're coming down to the magical question that every guest gets to receive, and that is: if you all wake up tomorrow and you're 25 again, but you're still in 2023, what advice would you give to yourself?
Run away.
Still got 19 years left. You're 6 years old now. What are you talking about running away?
If you knew what was about to happen to you, my goodness. Okay, no, run away. You know, it's funny. I walked past really, really quickly. I walked past the property that I grew up on with some friends a couple of years ago, and I just turned to my side. I thought, oh my gosh, I'm just envisioning myself sitting in that picnic table, watching that my older self walk by, and what would I say? And I thought, wow, that is incredible. And really it's being open. And I don't want to get into religion or anything, but I was raised very devout Catholic, right? Way back then, lots of things changed. It's being open to whatever comes at you because there's a reason for it. People come into your lives for a reason. Things happen for a reason. And as tragic and as horrible as they are at the time, there will come a time when it makes sense to you. When I had my brain tumor, why? What? You do all of that thinking at the time, but don't wait till that brick hits you in the head, everyone. Just be open to, yeah, I was raised Catholic. I am not a practicing Catholic anymore. I've learned from listening to others that there are other things out there that resonate with me, that make sense to me. Following my intuition, I'm starting to learn how to do that. Soul that's within us is telling us something. Listen and be open to what's around you, because there's always a reason. There's a message there. I'm not talking 24/7. There's messages coming at you, but think, people come into your life and go out of your life. Why? Ask yourself why. What did that person just bring for me? And take it as a lesson. Learn to say, yeah, maybe I'm going to go in this direction. Maybe I'm going to go into this direction. I love a little bit of Buddhism. I love a little bit of the United Church. I love a little bit of Christianity. I love a little bit about a lot of it, which is forming my belief system today. So just be open, 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 open-minded.
Me lucky. So doing a religious buffet at the moment, or is there just one you prefer at the moment?
I think I'm spiritual. I want to say, yeah, and this is difficult to explain, but I believe that it's my soul. My real being is my soul. My body is my vessel, however you want to say that. And my soul is here for a reason and a purpose, and it's to serve other people and to give to other people and to bring something into this world that's going to change lives. And I believe it's the future of children, that my little voice in this very large world can help to make a difference. If five people hear me today, hear us talking today, Dom, and go back and say, I'm going to start teaching my four-year-old some things, and I don't care what they are, as long as they're researched and they make a difference, then those five people have made a difference, not only in their own lives, but in the future of their own children's lives. So I forgot your question. That's what I just...
Hey, it's all good. Yeah. It's all good.
Yeah.
That's right, indeed. Well, this has definitely been fun on the bun, indeed. You're welcome back on this show anytime. My goodness, that's right, indeed. That's right, indeed. That's right, indeed. That's right, indeed. She's got all the gold stars, indeed. That's right, indeed. Especially with the visual, indeed, because it's like, oh, yeah, the question. It's like, oh, yeah, walking past your old stomping grounds that she grew up in, and then just seeing your little self at a picnic table looking at your older self, and you'd be like, hey, kid, I'm from the future. Avoid these things.
You know, it's an interesting question though, Dom, because what if, you know, let's everybody do that. Everybody's listening or watching right now. What would you tell your younger self? I mean, you might, there's so many possibilities. If you could get that down to one or two or three things, then that, you know, that might be something to reflect upon in your own life right now to say, I got to think about that a little bit more.
Oh yeah, definitely. That's right. Indeed. Main thing is well, enough, the part about the major question they forget about is if they were in the current year. So you're basically a Gen Zer by default. I guess 25ers are Gen Zers now, or are they millennials? I don't know what the term is now, but
Gen Zs, there's Gen Xs. I'm at the end of the baby boomers, actually. I hate to admit it, but I am the very, very end. Yeah. Oh,
And still looking
wow.
freaking fabulous with a lucky husband. You love to see it. That's
Oh,
right
thank
indeed.
you so much. You're so kind.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. But hey, it's all good. As soon as the Gen Zers grow up a bit, they'll blame whatever they decide to name the generation after them. As the trend goes, it's like, darn millennials, darn Gen Zers. I'm sure the Gen Xers got the grief the millennials got. It's like,
Yeah.
darn
Oh my
rebels.
gosh. You talk about my generation. Oh my gosh, I remember my first cell phone. I was 25 years old, and I had it kind of snapped into the bag. Like there was this big, big honking bag, and the phone went clunk and clunked on in. And it was because I was commuting 45 minutes. And my mom said, "You are not commuting 45 minutes without this thing." And she helped me pay for it. Oh my gosh. And now look, oh my God, wow, I don't even know what it's going to look like in 20 years. There's not going to be TVs and phones. There's going to be one device that does it all.
It'll be the smartphone, but with AI, it'll be worse. It'll be, let me stop.
Oh,
Let me not
yeah.
say that.
Stop us from thinking. We just Google everything. Oh, God, how scary that would be.
Yeah, well, that's why I say silly stuff to get people to think. But anyways,
I like it.
I know folks know what folks don't need to think about is following you and all the stuff that you do. So for those who need to do just that and more, especially when you decide to release more books, what's the best way for folks to do so?
Just go to my website, lynnmclaughlin.com. All the social media links are there. I'm playing with TikTok right now. I've got, oh boy. Yeah, but anyway, yeah, it's all there, lynnmclaughlin.com. And you can find the books really anywhere they're sold. Any of them. Just search me on Amazon.
Well, there you go. You heard it from the LM herself. That's right, indeed. The LLMJ, indeed. That's right, indeed. That's right, indeed. Check out on all the wonderful stuff. We'll put a link to her site in the show notes. That way, you can cop copies of all of her books. Give them as gifts for your friends. Heck, even if you got kids of your own, give them to your nieces, nephews. Heck, maybe even if one of your nieces is wearing a cat head for a costume and it's not even Halloween, give it to her too. Heck, even if your nephew has a camel hump on his back for Camel Appreciation Day every Wednesday, that's right indeed. Give it to him. That's right indeed. That's right indeed. That's right indeed. Bonus points if they take selfies with the book in a fruit smoothie. That's right indeed. Lynn will love it. That's right indeed.
I
That's
love that. Oh my gosh. You know what? That's so funny. I just put that out in one of my last Lynn's Blitz newsletters. Hey, if you got a book and you want to send me a picture with you reading it or a child reading it, I'd love to share that. That'd be fantastic. Oh, wow. Real life, real moments.
Heck
Again,
yeah.
you're brilliant, Dom.
Oh, well, thank you. That's right, indeed. That's what I jokingly say when folks ask to take pictures. They'll be like, all right, perfect. I got an alibi. It's perfect. That's right, indeed. Let me see.
Yeah.
Let
Take
me
the focus
see.
off you.
Yeah, exactly. That's right, indeed. Well, before any more rabbit holes appear, any parting words before we close up shop?
Just take time, everybody. Take time, reflect. And what can you do to, I heard you say, I'm trying to remember where it was, but smiling through your phone. And another thing you said is five people a day. If you can encourage five random people a day, what would you, yeah, five random people, because it all comes back at you, right? That happiness fold. But look within yourself and your immediate family and your immediate friends, and are you putting out the best of you? And if you aren't putting out the best of you, there's probably a reason why. And you got to figure that out so you can make those changes.
Thanks a bunch for investing your time by listening to this wonderful podcast today. I hope you enjoyed it. And if you really did, do me a solid and leave a review or share this episode with at least three people that you think would get some value out of today's content. Advance others to advance yourself.